In today's episode, we are going to be talking about renovating the heart of the home, the kitchen. And kitchen renovations can be costly, but with careful planning and thoughtful design, they can also add immense value to your home and enhance daily living. So join me as we discuss budget-friendly tips, creative design solutions, and effective ways to manage timelines without compromising on quality. Plus, I'm helping Chelsea and Tiffany with their own kitchen dilemmas, offering personalized advice and practical solutions tailored to their unique homes. So I hope this episode will inspire and empower you to tackle your own kitchen renovation project with confidence. Hello, guys. Welcome back to season two of the With My Own Two Hands podcast. I'm your host, Exo McKenna, or McKenna Lee, or just McKenna, whatever you want to call me. I'm so excited about this season. I really did need to take a break after season one to understand what I wanted out of the podcast and what you guys wanted to hear. And season one was all about just understanding, well, one, me figuring out how to use all the equipment, you know, to set everything up with lighting and cameras and mics and computer software systems and all of that. It really took me all year to get really good at it. And also understand what I wanted to share that was different than what you could get from me in other places. You know, so if you know me from YouTube, I obviously have a channel there where I upload my DIY projects and my home renovation projects and anything that I'm doing on my main channel. I also have a behind the scenes channel, which is a separate channel that is everything that you don't see in the main channel. And then you've got Instagram, and then you've got TikTok, and you've got all of these different platforms to share. But for me, 2024 was really about figuring out why someone would want to follow me or any real creator on all of those platforms. You've got to give them a reason, right? It has to be, I mean, for me as a viewer, just of someone else, there has to be a reason. Going into this season, I'm so excited because it's going to be a lot more involvement from you guys and a lot more input and submissions from you guys. And one specific segment that I'm really, really excited about that will be in this first episode and probably in probably close to every episode. I think that maybe there might be a couple that won't include this, but I feel like it's going to be so much fun and you guys are going to benefit from it too. And this is something that you have been asking me for so long, which is to help you guys with your own design dilemmas in your homes. And there's never really been a way for me to do that effectively. You know, it's kind of hard for me. It could be hard. You know, I'm not in the space with you. I don't see it how you see it. I don't live in it how you live in it. So there's only so much that I can provide. And I'm always scared to give like unsolicited advice. Truly, like I never want to tell someone what to do with their own home. And I never want to impose my own design style onto anyone. But this, if there's a form that you fill out with your details and you send me your pictures and you ask me for help, it's not really unsolicited anymore, right? It is very solicited. So if you're asking, I'll help. So there hasn't ever been a real platform for me to do that on. I remember back in 2020 during early pandemic days, I started this email where you guys could submit your dilemmas. I did try. I mean, that's been 4 years ago now. So I did try. It got over. I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up. And it was a really one-on-one kind of interaction. So it was like an email where I would email you back, and it became like an interior designer for everybody. And it was a lot of work. To be really honest, it was like, I was like, oh my God, I could only do like one of these, like a day, if not a day. And I wanted to do it perfect. Obviously, I wanted to give you inspiration and sketch something. And it was a lot. So that didn't work well. As time went on, it got harder and harder for me to keep up with that email. So this platform now allows me to have an outlet to help you guys. And hopefully through their dilemmas that of the people that actually send them in, you guys can also learn something, or maybe you have a similar dilemma in your own house that you're struggling with. So that is a segment that I'm so excited about that will be incorporated into almost every episode this season. Also, on the same form, you can also submit a topic that you want to hear. So it's always been pretty difficult for me to come up with a new topic, you know, for every episode that you actually would enjoy, you know, and I want it to be a two-way street, and I want you guys to submit your topic ideas or just ask questions, really, not really topic ideas, just, you know, like, what would you want to hear more of, or what don't you get on YouTube or Instagram or all of these other places? Also, I want to do interviews with people. There won't be a ton. I don't know if this will come to a surprise to anybody. I'm very introverted. I'm an introverted extrovert. I can be extroverted when it's necessary, but my social battery drains really, really quickly. I'm kind of a loner. That's why I DIY. I DIY it myself. Do it yourself. It's a lot. So I do want to have some guests on, but it won't be every episode, and it will just be sprinkled in. I'd love to have my contractor actually on because he has such a great personality, and I'm talking to him every day right now while we're renovating. So it could be really fun. Obviously, my friends in the industry that I'm really comfortable with, maybe my realtor, you know, like there are core people in my life that I feel like I really have benefited from through my journey in home renovation and even home buying with like my realtor. And I think maybe you would too. So if that is of interest to you, and of course you can submit like any interviewer ideas that you have on the form, and anything and everything you can send in. And the core of this podcast is to really focus on design. It's my passion. I love it. It's why you guys, I think the majority of you probably found me if you found me on YouTube. It's what I love to do, and it's something I do every day. And so at the core of this podcast, it's still going to be design focused, but our homes and design affect our everyday life, our relationships. I mean, it's literally, we spend how much time in our house every day? You know, so there's a lot of ways that we can incorporate how our homes affect our lives and relationships, and like going through this renovation, you know, as with Romeo, and like how it's affecting our lives, and like we're trying to keep our sanity. And there's just so many avenues that we can take and kind of tangents off of design that we can really incorporate into this podcast. So hope you guys are really excited about this season. If you don't follow along, if you're not subscribed, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and hit the bell notification so you know when new episodes drop. And if you're following along on just the audio version, I don't know how you do it. You hit the little plus button wherever you're listening to podcasts, because you can listen anywhere, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, something like that. Just follow along so you know when new episodes drop and you have them really accessible. There is not a shortage of things happening in my life right now. when I'm recording this, I'm officially in my third trimester of pregnancy, which is wild. I still can't believe it. I still can't wrap my head around the fact that we're so excited, but I feel like I can't wrap my head around how fast it's going. You know, being in my third trimester, I mean, we've got 3 months until this baby comes. And of course, me being the, I think maybe it's a segue of some sort of nesting thing that is happening in my brain. Of course I would want to renovate our kitchen while I'm pregnant. Of course we would put a crazy timeline to finish an entire kitchen renovation before our baby comes. No problem. Of course I would want to disrupt our lives in, you know, the third trimester of pregnancy. Yeah, I did that. So we are full swing in our kitchen renovation, and we don't have a kitchen. Like, it's our kitchen is in our living room, and it's just a small mini refrigerator and a microwave. That's what we're living with. But because we're in full swing kitchen renovations, it was only natural that we would have a kitchen episode. So this episode is really all about kitchens, but really can be applied to any renovation that you're going to start in your home. And I think there's something that you can take away from everything that we're going to talk about in this episode. And then also design dilemmas coming up at the end of the episode are kitchen focused. So I'm really excited. It's just on my brain right now. It's something that the current project that I'm working on. So I'm really in it. Why did we decide to renovate our kitchen? Did it need to be renovated? And why now? When we toured this house over a year and a half ago, the kitchen was not a selling point. It was something I walked into and was like, oh, I have to redo this. But the house has so much potential. I mean, it's there, but there was so much about the kitchen that was just not savable long-term. Like the cabinetry was really old. There was a drop-in sink that we immediately changed out right away. The layout, the flow of it all didn't work. There was a lot of dead space, a lot of unusable space. It was very dated and the ceilings were so incredibly low with a fur down. So it made it about, I believe, 7 foot, if not less, in our kitchen. Felt very like restrictive. Was it an okay kitchen? Sure. Was it a kitchen that this house deserved? No, it was not. It was not up to the caliber of what it could, what it should be for this level of home and this area and this location and competitively with other homes in the area. It was not it. So it wasn't a selling point of the house. We knew we had to do it eventually, but having a baby on the way really put a lot of pressure on us to do the renovation, because when I started to think about having to or wanting to do a major renovation with a baby or a toddler, I couldn't imagine it. Like, it was like, no, that's too disruptive when we already have the baby and he's, you know, a toddler. So I was almost like, if I don't do this now, we're not going to do it for years. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, if we can do it now, let's try. And we did it. And we pulled the plug would mean stop. Started the engine. We did something, whatever. We started. And we have hit the ground running. When I'm filming this, it's only been about 2 weeks since starting demo, actually like putting a hammer to a wall. But I have been planning for this renovation for, you know, the better part of a year and a half since we bought the house, you know, because my mind starts to go and I start to think about ideas and how we could make it better. And I'm constantly kind of thinking about it in the back of my head. I've done design. I've done a lot of work before leading up to putting a hammer into the wall and actually taking out things and demoing the project. In my opinion, renovating a kitchen is always a good investment, because it can greatly increase your property value. And I pulled some statistics because I really wanted to know if that was just me thinking that or that, you know, that was just like my kind of common knowledge of being in an industry. But no, it's so true. It says 80% of home buyers place the kitchen in their top three most important spaces. So it's probably the other three are like, you know, bathrooms. It's one of them for sure. So kitchens, bathrooms. I wonder what the third one is. I don't know. 69% of those surveyed said that they would pay more for new appliances, which we did not have when we moved in. Some were a lot older than others, but they weren't incredibly old, the appliances, but not new by any means. And you can recoup so much of your money that you invest in a kitchen renovation when you sell. So it's increasing your property value, right? So on a minor renovation, you can recoup up to like 85% of what you put in. So if you spent $20,000 on your new kitchen, you can recoup 85% of that $20,000 when you go to sell. And you get to enjoy it while you have it. You know what I mean? On a major kitchen remodel, which is what we're doing, where we're actually taking everything out and we're, you know, really going in and we're spending more money, we can stand to recoup about 50, 55% of that money that we're putting in. And we get to enjoy the kitchen while we live here. And we're putting quality appliances in there that are going to last well more than 10 years. And we see ourselves staying here for a very, very long time. So it's just, and we want it. So it's like there's so many upsides to renovating a kitchen. I mean, we have a whole nother layer of the fact that I get to film it and share the whole process with you guys, and it's my business. So like that was a whole nother layer that I know not everyone has, but like for us, it was a plus, 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 yes, 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 do. If we can finish it by the time the baby comes, even better, let's do it. Let's rock and roll kind of thing. I really have been thinking about the design since we've purchased the house and really working on it. And really the design has two parts. There's the functionality of the space, you know, that we need to pay attention to. And then there's also the aesthetic design side. So it's really twofold, and balancing those two is an art, and really getting what you want functionally, but also visually. It took time and it took a while to really figure out what that balance was to give us the best possible outcome with our renovation. So let's talk about function first, because that's huge, especially in a highly usable space like a kitchen. You know, you're in there, you're doing things, it's a task, you're cooking, you need things accessible, you're spending a lot of time. They call it the heart of the home. You're spending a lot of time in the kitchen. So functionally, we started to pay attention to how we used the space, right? So like what was lacking, what are the problem areas as we're living in the space? And we started to take note of those types of things as we lived in it. And we really did make three different lists when it comes to function, right? Our first list was our problems, our dilemmas, right? What are the problem areas? What are the dilemmas? What doesn't work functionally for us and our family? And everyone's going to live different, you know? So it's really specific to you and your family and how you live in it. What are those problems? And the second list were things that were like our must-haves, right? So we wanted specific things from our kitchen that wasn't incredibly necessary, but it was just things that we wanted, our must-haves in the kitchen. It has to do this. It has to have that. It has to, you know, like whatever those are. And some people are going to care more about certain things than others. Like I don't care about the new techie stuff like at all. Could care less. Like, you know, my contractor is asking me like, oh, do you want, you know, like the smart plugs and the plugs where you have your phone? And I'm like, no, they change those plugs like every 2 years. I don't care about that. No, it doesn't feel genuine to the house. Or, you know, like specialty little things that we can put in like that are very high tech or super high tech lighting. No, I personally, that's not a must have for me and us, but maybe it is for you. Maybe you have a super modern slick style and that's the things that you type of want. So first list is problems. Second list is must haves. And the third list is the things that we can keep, we can salvage, and we can reuse into the space. Because not only is this going to save us money in the budget, but also it's just not going to create more waste, right? So is there anything that you don't hate in your kitchen? Is there anything that you just like don't need to change? Is it something that you can work with? Is it something that's integral to the house's design? You know, for us, there were a couple of things that I wanted to incorporate and keep. And I tend to err on the side of saving more, not less. You know, I'm a little bit of a house hoarder in terms of like salvage, architectural salvage. So take that in consideration, but it's good to notate if there's anything that you can really, really keep. So if you make those three lists, you're in such a better position to understand the design that you need to create, right? Because you know what's not working and you know what you want, and then you know what you already have to use, you know? So those three things I think will really, really help. When it came to style, I obviously take a lot and all of my inspiration from the existing house, right? So what is the house's existing design? And our house is somewhat like more traditional. It's got some very cottage flair things. And it was very easy for me to adopt this and incorporate this French provincial style. So I've already been doing that in the house. So it's only natural, and I should do a French provincial style kitchen So the style kind of like was already kind of laid out for me because I had already determined what the overall house was going to be. It would be super unnatural for you to come into our home with all this character that we've infused in it and all of these, like, you know, not modern touches, very like, you know, fitting to the house, and then walk into a super modern kitchen. That would be so odd, you know? So really take your inspiration from the house itself and gather inspiration from Pinterest, you know, like gather all your inspiration photos, whether it's from magazines or homes you see on different social media sites, you know, Instagram's great for that too. And Pinterest, obviously, of rooms that you really like. And it doesn't have to be the whole room. It can be just like bits and pieces of it. You know, sometimes I'll see a picture and I'm like, oh, I love that one cabinet, the way that it does sits or functions, or the hardware that's on it, or the glass that they used, or the color of the stain of the wood. Call out what you specifically like about those inspiration pictures, and combined, you're going to have the tools that you really need to help you get started with the design of the space. I think in every kitchen and in every room, there's really statement decisions that you make. At least I always do. So in the room that we're sitting in right now, we have a very dark statement fireplace. That would be a statement design decision that I made early in the process because I wanted it to be a focal point. So in kitchens, there's obviously natural focal points, your range and things like that. But there are a couple of statement design decisions that I made in our kitchen that weren't already existing. So one is I wanted to maximize the height of the ceilings. So we did a cathedral ceiling in the kitchen. And now you can't see it on the YouTube video in this space because the ceilings are much higher in here. But I wanted to match the ceiling that was in our living room where I'm currently sitting in the kitchen. So it fits the house. It already exists. It was something original to the home. And I want to duplicate that into the kitchen so that they really feel like cohesive spaces. And a cathedral ceiling is kind of a statement. You know, a vaulted ceiling's kind of a statement. It's not a flat roof. It's not a flat ceiling. Another really statement decision that I made is that I did not want an island. I was already not going to put anything in the island, like a sink or the oven or anything like that. I wasn't going to put anything in the island. And the more I thought about a home that was built in the 1930s. They didn't have islands in the 1930s. It's a very newer thing that we've done, right? And when I thought about the other spaces that we had in the house, we didn't have another space for a dining room table except for this room, turning this front formal living room into a formal dining room, really. And I just thought it would be such a cool thing because this is what I would normally see in the 30s or, you know, in older homes, is an eat-in kitchen. So we decided to forego having an island and put a dining room table in the center of the room. I feel like we're going to use it so much. I feel like we're going to spend even more time, especially with a baby on the way, in the kitchen at the dining room table. And essentially, you know, an island is extra counter space, obviously, and seating with bar seating, but it's not as comfortable. When you sit at a bar, it's not as comfortable as sitting in a proper chair at a dining room table that's lower to the ground. So essentially, the dining room table is functioning just like the island. It's just a little lower, you know, so it's not really great for like prepping food or anything, but it offers more counter space. It offers more space, tabletop space. So we are going to be gaining that space and can use that, but we can also sit properly at a dining room table. So I love the decision. I'm so excited. I've never lived in a place that had an eat-in kitchen or had one myself. So I think that it could be like really, really cool. And another statement decision that we've made is to have floor to ceiling cabinetry, like a really big statement wall in the kitchen. So when you're thinking about design of your space, what are those statement decisions that you're going to make? What would be powerful? What are those power-packed, you know, kind of focal point areas in your kitchen? And maybe it is your island, because our island at the cottage is such a statement piece because I painted it dark and it's just beautiful. And it's, obviously it's in the center of the room, so it calls a lot of attention. I knew going into it, I felt really confident in it, But you never know what you're going to encounter when you start to open up walls. And, you know, design has to evolve, and you have to pivot where you need to. And we've already encountered some things throughout demo that have led us to make changes to our plan. So my design has evolved, and that was always a harder thing for me to accept early on. You know, it's like, oh, I went this, and they're like, you can't have that. It doesn't work. You know, like it was always harder for me to grasp that. But going with the flow in a renovation helps. It's just like, okay, let's see what's possible. This is the dream. Now let's see what's possible. And then let's go from there. And then you're a lot more apt to really getting what you want in the end, but having to kind of maneuver and change in order to get there. I tend to have wild ideas. I mean, I was literally told 2 days ago by our cabinet maker that no one's ever done this before. I love that because I'm pushing the boundaries, obviously, but some things I want just like aren't possible. So I've had to reel it back in. And I always like to say, I say this a lot. It's like, I always like to start with the dream. Like, what's my dream? If I could design anything and it's just living rent free in my head and I can sketch it out and show it to somebody, what's the dream? And then I come back down to reality. What's possible for budget? What's possible for timeline? What's possible in the space in general? What's physically possible? Until you get costs, or until you talk to a contractor, until you talk to someone or you open up a wall, you don't know what's possible. So you might as well start with a dream and then kind of back up from there. Which brings me to the next big thing, is because a lot of the dream things get taken off when you get down to budget, right? And how much is your dream going to cost? And then what are you less emotionally tied to that you can kind of start to take off that list and be like, okay, like if I get these things and it's in budget, like I don't need these things and we can still stay on budget. Kitchens are not cheap to renovate. Arguably, kitchens are the most expensive part of your house to renovate because they got a lot going on. There's a lot in it. There's a lot of millwork with cabinetry. You know, doors and cabinets and things and hardware all are expensive. You've got appliances. Each one is not cheap. And then you've got like complexity of plumbing and electrical. You've got a lot more things happening. All of that combined, they're costly, but at least it raises your property value. And at least, you know, like you can recoup some of your money when you sell your house. Definitely something that you have to go into eyes wide open. It's like there's a lot happening and it can be pretty, pretty costly. So setting your budget or knowing what you're comfortable spending upfront is always going to help you in any renovation project. And do you have to gut your entire kitchen like we did, you know, because we were doing so many structural changes and taking down the center wall and vaulting a ceiling and replacing all of the cabinetry and all of that. Do you have to do that to do a kitchen renovation? No, not at all. I think that there are definitely updates that you can do to save money. You can feel like you got a new kitchen without having to get rid of everything is basically what I'm saying. So I think what you really have to ask yourself and what you have to look at is what is the condition and value of what you've got, right? Look at, kind of dissect the kitchen, like dissect all the parts of it. What condition is your cabinetry really in? Is it something that you can just paint and update? Is it something that you can just swap out the hardware? Can it feel new then? Or is it just too far gone? Are they just older like ours were? And not even closing properly anymore, like kind of thing. Like, or is it like that? You know, like you can make that decision on your kitchen cabinets because cabinets are expensive. Can you make smaller upgrades without having to tear everything out, like replacing the hardware? Or can you put in a new countertop? Because that was also something that we could have done if we liked the layout of our kitchen. We could have updated the countertops or even the backsplash. A backsplash can make a major difference. If it's just dated, definitely something that you can do yourself and you can just buy the tile, you know? So is it that? Can you just update that? Because that would make a huge improvement in your kitchen. Are your appliances outdated? you know, or can you keep them and repurpose them into the design? Can you make other changes? You know, so thinking about those high ticket items too, like the cabinetry and the appliances, can you get by with doing a smaller renovation without having to gut your entire kitchen? Are some things that we did in the space to save money and to save money on the budget. One major thing that we did was we kept the existing flooring. We're just going to patch the brick where it needs to, because for me, I love the brick. The brick is in different areas in our house. It's original to the house. We kept some of the appliances, like we kept our refrigerator. We moved it into the garage. So we didn't really sit. We still have to get a new refrigerator, but at least, I mean, we got to keep that one. Another thing that we did do was we kept the appliances and sink in the same position in the kitchen, or we moved it to an area that was easily accessible for water lines and gas lines. If you do this and you really think about the new design in terms of keeping that stuff there, you're going to save so much money on the plumbing work because you don't have to relocate a lot. If they don't have access to move it around, it's going to be super costly and sometimes not possible. Another thing we kept is the original windows. And we kept the light fixtures to try and repurpose back into the space if they'll work. I've, of course, salvaged and kept all of the decorative accessories like hardware, you know, like things like that. And I chose to keep our dishwasher. It was a Bosch dishwasher. It was totally fine. It was one of the ones I didn't want to update. I just happened to not like stainless steel. So you can paint your appliances. Maybe that could be an option. You know, like, do you need a new refrigerator or a new dishwasher or whatever? Or could you paint the outside to change its look for design and aesthetic purposes? So whatever budget you settle on, just make sure that you save and you have about 10 to 15% more than that budget that you set for complications. I don't think I've ever been in a situation where there hasn't been a change order or something that we've had to do extra, something that they found that needed extra attention or extra work. It's very, very common. So don't think that it's just your house when you have like a surprise, oh, we need an extra X amount of dollars. So as long as you have a little bit of cushion, you know, you have that 10 to 15%, you'll be able to better prepare yourself to pay for those whatevs. We already had one. And I wanted to touch briefly on like timelines and stuff, because I don't think I've ever been in a renovation or in a build at all that has finished on time or never early, you know? So I think that right now we're getting really lucky. I think we have an amazing contractor, and also he feels the pressure of me having a baby. So the timeline has been really pushed to be like, okay, we got to get out of here and we got to get finished before she has this baby. They're feeling the pressure. There has not been a day that the guys have not been here working, like nonstop. We are moving incredibly fast. So I think of any of the projects that I've worked on, this one may finish early, if not on time. But I don't have experience in my past from that really happening, because you also really want it to be done well. You don't want to put an unrealistic timeline on something. Like, I think about these like crazy HGTV shows where they're like, oh, we're going to do a whole house reno, a build a whole house in 48 hours or some crazy thing. I mean, there can't not be corners that were cut. You know, there can't be some, like, it's impossible. These things do take time. So having a realistic timeline and talking to your contractor about that up front and knowing that it may take, surprises happen, weather happens, things like that happen, you know, it may take a little longer than that. But, you know, kind of having those conversations up front, like, really, really help. And I think that there are things that you can do that I definitely do on projects that help the process move as quickly as possible. One, I do as much of the work up front as I can. So I did I figured out what I wanted first. Before we ever had a contractor on site, I already had a plan, right? So I spent a lot of the work beforehand, before our lives were disrupted by construction. So that's one thing that you could do. Another thing is being very attentive. You have to be attentive during your renovation because things will come up and they need questions. And if you're lagging and you're not getting back to them on it, you're the one that's actually like pushing the project. You know, if they don't know how to proceed and they have a question, you know, they need to know in order to do that. Making yourself really available and knowing what you want, being really confident in what you want, and being able to make decisions really quickly are all ways that you can really help the project keep moving so that you don't have, you know, you're not the one kind of like tripping up the process and making it take longer. So we are very much in the kitchen renovation. We're really excited. The noise is not bothering us yet. It's totally fine because I love the sound of construction. I love that things are getting done and things are happening. Getting to our design dilemmas, you guys sent in some like even ones that had me being like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I would do with that space kind of thing. So let's get into Chelsea's dilemma. She says, I was planning on luxury vinyl plank in my 1880s home I just bought because I thought I was dealing with just plywood subfloor. So she thought there was nothing underneath. It was just blank. But I just discovered this amazing patterned hardwood today in my dining room. My issue is it's only in the dining room. The rest of the floors are layers of plywood subfloor, and the floor has sloped significantly in the kitchen. I can't do the LVP butted up against this beautiful dining room floor now. So would you do tile in the kitchen and then just start the LVP in the hallway? She's currently living with plywood floors at the moment and she can't keep them clean. We did that too in part of the house in the cottage. I'm losing it a little and just need to make a move. I looked at the pictures and oh my gosh, the flooring that she found is herringbone, like a 2-inch herringbone. It's gorgeous, first of all. And what she's talking about, the luxury vinyl plank, vinyl wood flooring has come so far. And I totally know why she wants to use it and why a lot of people are using it now because it looks so real. And it's like 100% waterproof. It's easy for you to install or replace a piece if you need to. It's super, super easy. But I see what she means. If you look at the pictures, she can't touch the vinyl flooring with the old flooring because one, they're going to be completely different sizes and widths. And it would just look weird when you have like the same material, but different shapes of them or different applications of them. It looks off, you know? So I totally understand why she's struggling with it. I can't actually believe that brick is vinyl that they put. I can't believe they covered that floor in that brick. My advice, I would definitely go with something completely different, a completely different material than wood in the kitchen, like tile. Like you mentioned, I would definitely do that. That way they don't fight each other and you can really have fun with the flooring in the kitchen and pick something that is classic. I wouldn't go something like too crazy, but pick something that fits the home really well and put that tile in the kitchen. Oh, but don't do tile that looks like wood because they also do have that. Just don't do anything that looks like, you need something completely different than wood. Then the hallway starts. Technically, they won't touch. Like if you were to start the laminated vinyl there, it wouldn't touch. But I think if you stand in one spot, like where I'm looking from the pictures, you would see all three flooring materials. Something about that in my head is a little off. Like I don't think that I would want to see it. And your hallway from this picture doesn't look too large. I might opt to do the tile in the kitchen and the hallway so it's all the same. And I imagine you putting a beautiful rug like that too down, you know, so it creates a little bit of differentiation. Then if you are going to do a different type of flooring in your bedrooms and your bathrooms that are probably back there in the hallway, you could start it there. You could do the LVP there. But what I would say is even if you do the LVP in your bathrooms or anywhere, I would keep it the same wood tone as whatever you're going to do on that original flooring. So if you want to keep it raw or you want to like stain it, I would find the LVP first that you like and then kind of stain your existing pretty herringbone floor to match that. So even in a different part of your house, even though they're going to be different widths and different applications, like I don't know if you want a herringbone it, but I probably not, they would still be complementing in color. So there would still be some consistency between the two wood floors. That's what I would do. But oh my gosh, that floor is going to be gorgeous when you pick up all that brick laminate. So pretty. I hope it's all like good, you know, like if not, you can always like feed some pieces in. You might have to get some salvage pieces, but your house is going to be so pretty. I mean, it has so much character already to like work with. And Tiffany sent in her pictures of her kitchen. And she said, I would like to redo my kitchen, but the layout is very tight and small. Right behind the kitchen is the stairs. So we can't open it up. Right behind the fridge is my bathroom. I have no idea what to do. When I first moved, my best friend and I painted the cabinets. Now my style has changed and I hate them. Please help. So for those of you just listening in, she's got a very narrow kitchen, very like a galley style kitchen. Gray cabinets, no hardware. Refrigerator is kind of in like a cubby. She's got some open shelving, but it's overall a very small footprint. Not much she can do on the layout. So it's really about optimizing what space she has. So, okay, first I see baby bottles on the counter. So it made me smile. That's literally what my kitchen's going to look like after it's done. I'm going to have baby bottles on the kitchen counter. Anyways, with smaller footprints like this, what you lack is storage. You lack counter space. I was thinking about it last night when I was like making my notes and stuff, and I kind of have two idea routes that you could take based on how much you want to do, right? Your budget, phase one and phase two, if you really wanted to take it all the way there or something. I would say a minor redo is really what using everything that you have, but making it better with a few DIYs that you could do. So one is your cabinetry, right? I would opt to change it up a little bit. If you already hate the color that you used or what you painted and your style has evolved, this is a great opportunity to like change it up drastically. I don't know what your style is that you want to go for, but you could definitely paint them. They kind of look like they have like metal, like it kind of like cups under, like how you open them. There's no hardware. So it's like kind of like a metal piece. You could actually try to remove that and just fill it with wood, one that you can actually put hardware on. That would totally change the look of your cabinets, but you would be using what you've got. So you would just have to figure out that metal piece and see if it's something that you can take off or get off or fill. I think that would be so pretty, and paint them. You could add hardware on the uppers too. I think that would be so cool. So that's something you can definitely try. If you're more like me and your style is like super like detailed in character, you could even add like a trim. You could do a lot with what you've got there. And another thing that I think you can DIY is on top of your refrigerator, how it like sinks back like that. Obviously, I'm not saying like replace your refrigerator. I'm just saying where it sinks back, you're utilizing the top of the refrigerator like we did with like your extra appliances that you don't have space for on your countertop. And I think it would give you a cleaner look and more purposeful storage up there if you actually brought the top cabinetry and build it out. Like get you some 2x4s, like take off the cabinet doors, like get you some 2x4s, build it all out to the front of your refrigerator, to the where the wall is, and put the doors back on, you know, so build it out so that you actually have purposeful storage up there, and it'll make your refrigerator feel a little more built in up there. I can't quite tell. I don't think it'll hinder the light at all, but I can't quite tell where that light stops. But I think building that out, if you can, could be really cool. I think something that your kitchen is missing that it just has right now is just a little turn up of your Formica countertops. Adding a backsplash yourself, you could totally do it yourself. Like pick you some tile that's not very expensive, you know, that's pretty. Like we would go to Floor and Decor for the ones that we got at the cottage, and I mean for, you know, $100-$200 or something like that, maybe not even, depending on the type of tile you pick, you could get the material to put you a backsplash, and it could go all along the left side above the other countertop underneath your floating shelves and stuff, and you can add something to it. I feel like it's feeling very cold and sterile right now because of the white and gray and stuff. And if you wanted to update that, you could do something really cool there. I would definitely add, like, over, for those of you listening, there over her sink, she's got a big window, which I love our window over our sink, the box window. But I definitely think it needs a Roman shade. You know, like if you put like a pretty linen Roman shade, it's going to bring some warmth into the space. I think that that would be really pretty. You would have to do an outside mount Roman shade because I don't think you have enough space inside, but that could be really pretty so you can have like some texture and some warmth there. And on the left side, underneath the countertop, you've got that open space. I don't know what it's for because you've already got your dishwasher and things, but I think you have your trash can there. I would add a like curtain, like just get you a cheap $5 tension rod from Amazon or the hardware store and put you some fabric there. It will camouflage that hole and make it look cleaner. I think that that would be my goal in the kitchen, is just to overall make it feel cleaner visually. So basically you're hiding a little bit of stuff. I think if you wanted to take it a step further, you could build out like a whole kitchen nook with a built-in fridge. You can make the cabinets go all the way to the ceiling, you know, so you can either add another one on top or replace your floating shelves with cabinetry as well. If you feel like it doesn't really offer you the storage you need, it's tricky with open shelving. It becomes more decorative. And in a small kitchen footprint, it can be very restricting, you know, because you kind of need the storage. But if you don't need the storage, you could also do like a combo. You could do some cabinetry going all the way to the ceiling, but at the end, do some floating shelves too. It's your call. It's how you use the space. Do you need the extra storage, or, you know, are you okay having that all be decorative? But you can really maximize it by going all the way to the ceiling. Definitely swap out the Formica countertops with stone. If you can get a very like budget-friendly stone option. You don't have a ton of countertop space, so it won't be too much material that you need, but that can definitely increase the value of the kitchen and like just the overall feel. I personally am not a big fan of the stainless steel drop-in sinks. Obviously changed it really quickly in my kitchen. So I would definitely like swap that out to something different, like either like a quartzite one like we used, a quartz one that I got on Wayfair, or, you know, like something like fire clay or something like that. It would take away that sterile metalness. That's always what I like to take away from spaces, is all the cold feeling. Like the space that you have is small, but it's plain. Like it's okay. I feel like it's, with a few updates, I think you can really love it as it is, because you can't change it structurally. I mean, you're really stuck. But I think even though you can't change it structurally, it's still really good. I had so much fun doing these design dilemmas. I want to do like 2 to 3 per episode, where if you're like them, where you have like a footprint and a layout that you cannot change and you need some ideas, or you have these like weird floor patterned things happening that you can't really work through, please submit your design dilemmas, because this was so much fun. I think in the next episode, I'm going to do 3 different ones. So we'll explore different rooms and different spaces and how to blend styles. And I love seeing your spaces. So if I can help in any way, like I'm down, like I'm so excited. So definitely if you're tuning in just through audio and you wanted to see those spaces, check them out in the YouTube video. And I will leave it, obviously all of the links will always be in the show notes. I hope you guys enjoyed episode 1. Oh, I got really comfortable. Me and Kinsley's knocked out. My dog, Kinsley. She always gets really cozy when we do podcasts because we're just sitting and chatting. And I hope you guys loved episode 1. We're just getting back into it. And if you have not seen any of the videos for our kitchen renovation, there will be 2 episodes out by the time you're listening to this episode. So definitely go check it out. I'm really excited to share this whole process of the kitchen and just like see. I'm kind of nervous, actually. I'm nervous. It's a lot of decisions to make. So we're in this together. If you're doing a renovation, like it really feels the same way for me, as confident as I can be in my design and as confident as I can feel like about my knowledge of construction and renovation and stuff, I still get nervous. And it's like a lot of big decisions with like price tags that are higher, you know, so you don't want to mess up. So I'm excited. I hope the vision comes to life the way that I envision it. So stay tuned, watch along on the episodes. I will see you again in 2 Wednesdays for another episode. And don't forget to submit your design dilemmas or your topic ideas or anything you want to tell me. And I'll see you guys really soon for episode 2. Bye, guys.